So Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read from verse 5 here. Lord, as we read your word and as we consider it this morning, we want to thank you that spiritual things are only spiritually discerned. We thank you we don't have to rely on the natural man, on natural gifts, natural human explanation or interpretation, but we thank you for the blessed ministry of your Holy Spirit, and we call upon you, Lord, to send him to us. Give that spirit of wisdom and revelation to us, we pray. Speak to our hearts, we ask you, as we commit ourselves into your hands for this time now. Amen. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not experience death, and he was not to be found because God took him away. For prior to his transformation, he was approved, having pleased God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. Will you please put your finger there and go back to the Colossian letter, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then thirdly and finally, a short passage from the Roman letter, Romans chapter 8. And we'll read from verse 6. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God, because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. Those whose lives are in the flesh are unable to please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. A few weeks ago, I spoke from the end of Hebrews chapter 12, and I don't want you to turn to this verse, but the chapter finishes with this exhortation: let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and with godly fear. And the context, of course, in that chapter is that we serve God who is a consuming fire. And the context is that we are living in days when everything is being shaken. And of course, the good news, therefore, dear friends, that is that it is possible for every one of us in the days in which we live to serve God acceptably, with reverence and with godly fear. Now, what I want to do in a sense this morning is to continue from that. I want to ask the question, or at least address the question in part: how may I please God? How may I please God? That verse could be rendered like this. Let us have grace by which we may serve God in such a way that pleases him, in an acceptable way. And I think I particularly want to speak to any of you who are troubled. Maybe you are not, you haven't faced this for a while, but deep down there is a bit of you that says, I wonder whether I'm really pleasing God. I wonder whether I'm really acceptable to God. Throughout history, that kind of question has troubled the conscience of many, many people. I mean, I think just off the top of my head of a man like Martin Luther, who was so troubled about his relationship to God and how he could be accepted by God, that one of the things he did, I think he went up on his knees for, I don't know how many steps it was, in a kind of penitential way, a penance, punishing himself, because he thought that's the only way I can bring trouble to my guilt, that I can ease my troubled conscience. That's the only way I can give ease to my soul. Well, thank God he came through to a place, of course, where he knew he was justified by faith, where he knew that God accepted him in the sacrifice of his son. Of course, that's the only way to be accepted by God. But even as believers, even if we know that we are Christians, even if we know that we are justified by faith, there can lurk in our minds, at least from time to time, just that nagging sense of, well, has God really accepted me? Or am I really living life in a way that is pleasing to God? Perhaps some of you who are older look back and say, well, what's happened to my life? Maybe you wonder what has been in your life that has been of real profit? What will survive the eternal judgment when we all of us go through something of that fire and our works are burned up if they're not of God? Thank God we are saved through the fire, but the fire burns up everything that's not of God. And so we have a kind of a fear, really. How am I going to do? Is God going to accept me? And my friends, I want to bring to you the good news that it is possible to please God. It is possible to know that you are pleasing God. It's possible to know that you are accepted by him, and that your conscience does not need to be troubled. Of course, some of you, some of us, react. Instead of that sort of allowing it to trouble us, what we do is we bury ourselves in activity, and we go into the world, or we engage even in Christian activity, anything to kind of dull that little voice in us that says, I wonder whether you are really pleasing God or not. Well, this is a big subject. I'm only going to touch on, I think, two or possibly three things from the reading that we have. So, how may I please God? How can I know that I'm pleasing to God? Well, there's some tremendous encouragement and good news. From let's begin with Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll look at this man Enoch, which was brought to us by John Hayward a few weeks ago, but in a slightly different way. He was emphasizing different things. And so it says here, that he walked with God. He doesn't say that here, but we find that in the book of Genesis, of course. That Enoch walked with God. And then he had this testimony, end of verse 5, before he was translated, or before he was transferred, that he pleased God. And it was because of that testimony that he had, that he pleased God, that God took him. He did not experience death, but God took him from earth and took him straight into glory. Now, friends, the marvellous thing is that when you look at the Colossian letter, which we read, is that every believer has also been translated. But we are translated, transferred, at the outset of our Christian lives. Enoch was transferred to glory at the end of his life. Before that, he had a testimony that he pleased God. But my friends, you and I have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that is where it starts. And the fact that we've been transferred is on the basis of that God accepts us in Christ. Hallelujah. So my friends, I want to ask you really, I want to tell you really, you are in one of two kingdoms. You are either in the kingdom of darkness or you're in the kingdom of his dear son, the Lord Jesus, the kingdom of light. You are in one or the other. You cannot have your feet in both camps. That is your position. And if you are in the kingdom of his dear son, God has accepted you. The old has passed away, the new has come. In Christ, you are a new creation. And any niggle, any voice inside you that says God has not accepted you is a lie. You are accepted in his son. And that is a tremendous encouragement. But friends, the marvellous thing is that actually on the basis of that acceptance is that you and I then can live the rest of our lives like Enoch, with this testimony that we please God. And of course that is the testimony that God wants every one of us to have. So, how do we please God? Well, Enoch, this is why it says, this is why it's in the book here, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's turn it on its head. With faith, it is possible to please God. Marvellous. But that begs the question some of you may be asking. Well, I don't know that I've got faith. I haven't got faith. Some people have faith, some people don't have faith. And so some of us sort of try and screw up enough faith, thinking that by that we can please God. My friends, the marvellous thing is that the Bible says that faith is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. So you don't have to try and work it up. You don't have to try and earn it. It is a gift from God. And with that gift, it is possible to please God. Of course, because if it's a divine gift, God with that gift gives the ability to you for you to please him. And so the scripture encourages us to learn to walk by faith. And that's moving on from an act of faith. When we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, we do that by an act of faith. But having been transferred, I keep using the word translated, it's the authorized version word, but I must stop using it because some of you are thinking it's like going from French to German. It's not that. You're transferred from one kingdom to another, but then having been transferred, we then have to learn to live by faith, to walk by faith. And that is what Enoch was doing. So friends, it is possible to please God through faith. So what do you do? How do you get this faith? Well, let's just consider, by way of a reminder for some of us anyway, many of us probably, but for others it may come as a slightly new thing. What does the Bible say about faith? What does the New Testament say about faith? Well, there's a lot that we could say, but let me just bring you three things. There are three descriptions that the New Testament gives about faith. And you'll find these. I'll leave you to try and find the references. The first description of faith, or the first phrase, the Bible talks about the hearing of faith. Faith must be preceded or accompanied by hearing. You won't have faith unless you've heard from God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's in Romans 10, verse 17. But the hearing of faith, without a hearing of the word of God to our hearts, there is no faith. So again, it's not a question of sort of screwing up something. It's a question of coming to a place where God brings us his word. How does he do that? Sometimes it's through the preaching of the word. Preaching is designed to engender faith in the hearts of the hearers. Teaching is slightly different. That brings knowledge. But faith comes by hearing the preaching of the word. But it may come as you are reading the scriptures. It may come as you're listening to something on a sermon, whether CD, online or whatever. It may come just as a witness in your own heart. God is putting something there. Friends, that is a prerequisite for faith. That's the first phrase. Second phrase, the obedience of faith. The Roman letter finishes with that at the end of chapter 16, I think it is, or at the end of chapter 15. I must leave you to look it up. The obedience of faith. So having heard from the word, having heard from God, there needs then to be a response to what the Lord is saying. And if you don't like the word obedience, I think response is quite good. But there does need to be a response to what God has said. Otherwise, faith is not complete. This is what James is talking about in his epistle. Abraham was justified by works when he offered Isaac on the altar. It's not that he was earning anything from God, but rather having heard from God as to what he should do, he then carried it through. So my friends, if I'm speaking to anybody today and God has spoken to you about something, thank God for that. But for that faith to become a reality in your life, for that to become a walk by faith, you then need to respond to it and to act on it. And then the third phrase that the New Testament talks about to do with faith is the assurance of faith. And this is a marvellous thing, I think. Hebrews 11 speaks about it, of course, at the very beginning. It talks about faith being the ground or the confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When God gives us that divine faith, when God brings us his word and we act on it, there is a quiet assurance that this is of God. So that is how we are to learn to live. By faith, that is how we please God. So, how do you please God? You come to him and you ask him to speak to you. You ask him to bring his word to you. And as he brings his word to you, you then respond to it. And there is an assurance given to you. So there's the first way in which we are to please God. And of course, the examples of those three things we see in the rest of the chapter. So Noah, let's look in just briefly. Noah being warned of God, not yet of things not seen as yet. Why did Noah build that big vessel? Because he thought about it, thought it was a good idea. It occurred to him one night in a kind of dream. No, God spoke to him. He was warned by God. But he then had to get on and build the boat. He then had to do it, and he was listening to God. He had such a walk with God that God could give him the exact dimensions of the ark. Now, friends, these examples are here for us to encourage us that God can enable each one of us to live by faith. God can give each one of us those specific instructions where we need them. just... as a personal testimony, I went to Kenya recently. And on my way out there, I was reading the word. Actually, it was that morning, I think, that I left. And God brought a scripture to me that absolutely knocked me for six, I have to say. I haven't got the liberty to give you the details. But suffice to say that what God showed me then came to light in the remaining 9 days that I was there. So God is able to warn us even of things to come. God is able to bring whatever is necessary to us. Friends, that is how you can please God. Well, go to him and ask him for that faith. Now, for you to do that, it's going to need certain things. Enoch, learn this. It says in verse 6, he that comes to God, you need to come to God. Faith does not land in your lap necessarily. Thank God there are times when it seems to, but you need to come to God. It's he who gives the faith. And you must believe that he is. And that's sometimes where the battle is, really. Because the killer for us as believers is the whole matter of unbelief. We don't believe that God is. We somehow believe, maybe, or at least we live as if he doesn't exist. But more particularly, because most of us do, of course, believe that he is, in the sense that he exists, but that we don't believe that he is who he says he is. He is eternal. He is righteous. He is able. He is all these things. So we come to God on the basis not of what I feel about him, but on the basis of his revealed character. He is the I am that I am. So friends, can I encourage you, if you're wanting this kind of faith, if you want to please God, preface your prayers by declaring and thanking God and saying, Lord, we thank you as we come to you today that you are this, that you are faithful, that you are able to provide, that you are the one who does great and mighty things. Friends, this is what Abraham did. It says about Abraham in Romans 4 that he grew strong in his faith, giving glory to God, fully convinced that he was able to, that God was able to do what he promised. So Abraham continued to thank God. Lord, my wife's past it. Hallelujah. You're able to do it. You're able to perform your word. Whatever it is. But declare the greatness of God, the ability of God. That's how faith can begin to be engendered. And as you do that, you then need to seek him, because it says in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And friends, that's where some of us don't come up to the mark, really. Some of us don't seek God as we should. And I want to encourage you to do so. God has said about himself, this is his character, that if we seek him with all our hearts, we will find him. Jeremiah chapter 29. If we seek him with all our hearts, we will find him. If you seek God with all your heart, God will meet with you. Don't write yourself off. Don't give in to the lie or the unbelief that says God won't take notice of me. You are able to seek God, and God is able to meet you and to give you faith. I just want to encourage you in whatever way these things are applicable to you. So there's the first way in which we're to please God. We can please God as we learn to live by faith. The second scripture I want to look at is in Colossians chapter 1. Where Paul prays for the Colossian believers that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will, verse 9, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So that you can walk worthy of the Lord knowing that you're pleasing him. That's the goal. And friends, the fact that Paul prays these for the Colossians again underlines the fact that every believer in Christ is able to walk worthy of God. Friends, I think this is tremendous, and I want to bring this as an encouragement to you. Your life can be lived in such a way that it is worthy of God, and that God can look with a degree of pleasure on you. Not kind of reluctant acceptance, but with genuine pleasure. Because of the work that he has been able to do in your life. You and I can walk worthy of God unto all pleasing. That is gloriously possible. Now, for that to happen, takes a little bit of time to work through. And God doesn't blame us when things take time to work through. He looks at our hearts, and just as any youngster has to learn to come to maturity over 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years, some people a bit longer than that, God looks at our hearts. Are we maturing? Are we growing in these things? Well, what are these things? Well, first of all, verse 9. That we might be filled with the knowledge of his will. That we might be filled with the knowledge of his will. We will not learn to please God whilst we do not learn to know his will. You can know the will of God in its general, broadest sense. The scriptures speak about the will of God. The scriptures speak about the purpose of God. Get to know the purpose of God as revealed in the word, and align your life to fit in with it, and you will start to live a life that is worthy, a walking worthy of God. 9 times out of 10, I feel that the troubles of many Christians is because we don't have the bigger picture. And so therefore we go off at a tangent. We miss the mark. And friends, God is well able to give every one of us the big picture, the broad sweep, the knowledge of his will in all spiritual, in all wisdom. How are we to get that wisdom? Do what Ephesians 1 says. Ask God to give you that spirit of wisdom. Paul was praying that for the Ephesians. Pray it for yourself. Pray it for others. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit himself, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Again, thank God it's not natural intelligence that's needed. It's the work of the Spirit of God, and he is able to reveal himself to you that you may know these things. It's spiritual understanding that Paul is praying for these believers. And thank God that we can know it. Well, we must move on, or I shall not have the time to cover everything. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And as we lay hold of the wisdom of God, as these things are imparted to us, and as we respond to them and receive them into our innermost being, and as we know them in our experience, the fruitfulness will start to come in every good work. And those good works are the things that God has prepared for us to walk in beforehand. Being fruitful and increasing in the knowledge of God. Friends, every one of us should be able to say at the end of coming up to the end of 2019, I know God better than I did at the start of the year. Can you say that? I trust you can. Increasing in the knowledge of God. And then it speaks in the next verse about two kinds of strength. There are various words here. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. There are three words there in the Authorized Version. Strengthened, might, and power. Two of them are to do with the Greek word dunamu or dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. And this essentially is a power to enable things to happen, to enable us to do things. So in Acts 1 verse 8, you shall receive dunamis and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and unto the ends of the earth. The power was given to the disciples to enable them to be witnesses. And that dunamis power begins when we are baptized with the Spirit. Strengthened with all might. There are two occasions that strengthened and the word might. But there's another word here. According to his glorious power. And this is a different word in the original language. And this is a power. It means a force or a vigor. And it's really a power to enable us to overcome. So my friends, you and I, if we're going to please God, we need his power. We need his power to enable us to please him, to enable us to do the will of God, to enable us to come into all that God has for us, and we need his power to be able to overcome. Because we're going to be facing battles which will seek to stop us pleasing God. And this scripture says that God can give you such a power. God can give you such a strength. And so Paul prays that we would be strengthened with these things. Well, again, I would encourage you to make these things your prayers. Ask God to give you an increase in that kind of strength, that you would know it. Strengthened with all power and according to his glorious power. And this is the aim of it, so that you may be able to endure unto all patience. And then it says, and I love this phrase, and long-suffering with joyfulness. So we're not to be enduring and long-suffering with a long face. It's with joy. God has enabled me to overcome. I've come through these things. Friends, as we come to the end of a year, you know, the Lord is able to bring us through. Whatever the challenges. And the Lord is able to bring us through with joy. Hallelujah. We can walk worthy of God unto all pleasing. And some of those things that we've looked at are some of the elements that are involved in in being able to say, Lord, I can please you. And then thirdly, and rather more briefly, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 9. I beg your pardon. Verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, let's put this thing on its head. If you are in the Spirit, you can please God. So what is this talking about? Well, it goes on to talk about, first of all, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God resides in you, dwells in you. That is to say, you are not indebted to your sinful nature. That sinful nature has been dealt with at the cross, at Calvary. You can say with the apostle, I have been crucified with Christ. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are able to please God. God has accepted you. Can I ask you the question? Do you know that you have the Spirit of God within you? maybe the question for some of you that I was talking about at the beginning, the niggle in the back of your mind, is actually you're not sure whether the Holy Spirit is in you or not. If you are not sure of that, I would urge you, please come and seek counsel about it this morning. Because it probably shows that you do not have the Holy Spirit in you. And if you haven't got the Holy Spirit within you, you cannot please God. You're still in that kingdom of darkness. You may not feel it, but that is where you are. But if the Spirit of God resides in you, you see, the Spirit goes on in Romans chapter 8 to say in verses 15 and 16 that the Spirit, with a capital S, the Holy Spirit, witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know that you have the Holy Spirit in you because there is a witness within you that says he is there. And that witness is the thing that makes you know that you're a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. You are not in the flesh, verse 9, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But friends, if we live lives then that are dominated by the flesh, ruled by the flesh, led by the flesh, by which I mean that sinful nature that we're born with, though we may be crucified with Christ, if we allow that crucified self then to have a bit more life again, and if we give into it, if, as my particular reading said at the beginning from the Holman Bible talks about the mindset. If I give into that mindset where I'm ruled by the flesh, friends, I'm not going to please God. And that's the challenge. The answer to the question is, how can I please God is, don't give into the flesh. Don't let that old nature rule your mindset. Let your mind be transformed and renewed so that you have the mind of the Spirit of God. And that takes time. But it can be done. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is of the Spirit in you is life because of righteousness. And so, friends, let's move on. The challenge is, verse 13, if you live after the flesh, if you live according to the flesh, that is going to result in death. And your life is going to be a waste, and your life is not going to fulfill the purposes of God. Don't live after the flesh. Don't be dictated by that sinful nature. But it then goes on to say, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, and we heard a little bit about this last week, there is a need to put certain things to death. Yes, we are already dead, but we need to make sure that they stay in that place of death. We need to make sure that the coffin lid is well and truly nailed. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And friends, that is where we need the power of God to be able to overcome. Don't give in to that lie that says, oh, well, if I give in to this, if I yield to my old nature, I'm going to find fulfillment, happiness, joy, etc. You will do for a bit. The pleasures of sin do, and there are pleasures of sin, but they only endure for a season. And they are utterly deceptive. They will not fulfill you. Oh, my friend, I do think I'm speaking to somebody. And you are running away from this question about how you can please God by burying your head in the sand, by giving into that old nature, by giving in, by letting that old nature of yours have free reign. And you think, that is how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to just forget about God. I'm going to forget about my eternal destiny. I'm going to just live life now. Oh, my friend, don't be foolish. The question how you may please God is absolutely fundamental. You will have to face him on judgment day. And friends, the good news is that if we learn to please God now, if we learn to live by faith, if we learn to walk worthy of the Lord now, with all those other things that we were talking about, and if we learn to put to death the deeds of the body, you will experience life in all its fullness. Why damage your life by giving into that old nature? Why deprive yourself when God has got so much more in store for you? Well, it's impossible to please God without faith. It is possible to please him with faith. It is possible to please God if we walk worthy of him. And it is possible to please God if we are in the Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to lead us, and so that we learn to walk in the Spirit. My question at the end, really, and I'll finish with this. I've got three, I think. Number one. I won't give you the references, but they're questions that the New Testament also asks. Number one, who are you seeking to please, men or God? What stops us pleasing God is a desire to please others. And Paul says, if I yet please men, I would not be the servant of Christ. Oh, friends, don't seek to please men. Yeah, you've got to live at peace with them, but don't seek to please them. Number two, are you pleasing yourself? Are you more concerned about pleasing yourself than pleasing God? Are you more concerned about pleasing yourself than pleasing your neighbour for his building up, the scripture speaks about? We're not to seek to please men in order to be nice to them, in order to have a good relationship with them. We're to live at peace if we can. But the New Testament challenges us to seek the good of others for their well-being. Some of us are so jolly self-centred that we couldn't care less about anybody else. We just want to please ourselves. Oh, my friends, look away from yourself. Do you want to please others, to build them up, to be of use for them, to be a blessing to them? And then the third question is, are you seeking to please God, or are you getting yourself entangled with the things of the world, the affairs of this life? And life is the affairs of this life can be the one thing that just entangles us and stops us pleasing the one who the scripture says has chosen us to be a soldier. Are you seeking to please men or God? Are you seeking to please yourself or God? Or are you seeking to allow the things of the world to entangle you rather than to please God? Well, let us have grace, Hebrews 12 concludes with, so that we may be able to serve God in such a way that we do please him with reverence and with godly fear. These are vital questions to ask, I think, in the days in which we live. Let's pray, please.